This week, New Canaan was the latest Connecticut town impacted by a hoax threat online. Earlier this week, police found recent posts on TikTok targeting New Canaan High School. Those posts were found to be not credible, but it led to a conversation talking about the coordination effort between local police and the state, so from the FBI to the Connecticut Intelligence Center, and helping people understand certainly the weight of these types of posts being put online. So joining us back on the show is Evan Allard, who is the director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center. And Evan, welcome back. And I want to talk broadly about these hoax threats. We don't have to specifically talk about New Canaan. It just happened to be the reason to have you back on so soon. But first, let's talk about the Intelligence Center. What is it exactly for people who are not familiar?
Yeah, good morning, Melissa, and thanks for having me again. The Connecticut Intelligence Center is just a law enforcement partnership within the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. And a fusion center is just a collaborative hub. It's operated jointly by state and local agencies with federal support. And really what we try to do is get the right information to the right people at the right time. So whether that's a swatting threat or something in cyberspace, something terrorist or criminal in nature, we try to make sure that we're preparing all of our partners in the state to make strategic decisions based on some of the trends that we see. And we do that by staffing our center with a mix of federal liaisons, state agency partners, and then local agency partners as well. And we also have a cadre of civilian intelligence analysts that sit with us full time and are able to take that information in and really sift through and figure out what it means. So we were pretty, I know when we talked last in September, I think it was, we were pretty active in some of the swatting cases that were happening across Connecticut. And it's unfortunate that that is again happening in the same way.
So to your point earlier, Evan, we had you on in the fall of 2025, and it was Darianne, I believe it was Darianne, that we were talking about this situation. What I find fascinating, Evan, is that in both the New Canaan situation this month and the Darianne situation in the fall, and many of these situations that involve either swatting calls or hoax threats made online, is that they're not even coming from Connecticut. They're coming from out of the state, sometimes out of the country. How do we trace back where these threats come from? What does that process kind of look like, if you can explain any of that to us?
Broadly speaking, when it comes to tracing and understanding where these calls are coming from, a lot of times these threat actors that are, like you said, and you nailed it, either out of state or out of country, you know, they're very smart. They use VPNs, they use obfuscation services. They know how to prevent some of their data from being accessed by law enforcement. But when it comes to a threat made on social media or TikTok or something like that, we have a program with the FBI known as the Threat to Life Program, also known as the Dual Routed Threat to Life Program. And that's essentially where the Connecticut Intelligence Center and the FBI get a notification whenever it is, you know, 24/7. And we both work through the process of evaluating the threat and communicating that with the local police agency, working with them throughout the execution of the either the operations or the increased security posture, whatever it might be. But you're absolutely right that it's difficult to trace IP address. A lot of these calls are coming on through VoIP or voice over internet. There's a real problem with threat actors swatting 911 because our emergency telecommunication system have enhanced ability to track where things are coming from. So a lot of times these threat actors are, you know, making threats online, or they're making them via VoIP to a non-emergency line, and then we're having to look for the IP address.
Evan Allard is joining us, director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center. And this week, New Canaan was the latest Connecticut town impacted by a hoax threat online. Police found recent posts on TikTok targeting New Canaan High School. They were not credible, but police had to work with the Connecticut Intelligence Center and the FBI. And I wanted to talk about that part of the story, Evan, maybe not necessarily to New Canaan, but in general, because they're all pretty similar in the sense that when you see a potential threat, or you get that phone call, or one of those swatting incidents happen, this is a real effort. I'm not even going to talk about just the expense, but the amount of resources used on something that's not even credible. Can we talk a little bit about that? I think it's important people understand that response effort.
Yeah, and I think not just from the intelligence side of the house, but also from the operational side of the house, our local police departments and Connecticut State Police are phenomenal in their ability to respond to these threats. It really starts before the actual threat is even received when it comes to making a plan, having a plan, so that way we're not unprepared when the actual threat comes in itself. So planning, intelligence support, and information sharing is huge in addition to what our local PDs and our Connecticut State Police are doing every single day to make sure that we're safe. There's quite a heavy lift behind the scenes that goes into each one of these calls.
Yeah, I mean, so I can remember there was a swatting incident in Fairfield, I don't know, maybe a year ago or so. And the effort, you know, so you're talking about you're draining not only the resources of the Fairfield Police Department during that, but surrounding towns, obviously, they're responding, right, as either backup or having to, backfill because you've got the police now being held up there. You're talking about parents being, what is happening? Can I get my kid? What's going on? I mean, it's pure chaos. And essentially at the heart of it is something that's not even real. But yet you want them to respond, right? I mean, it's not like we don't want them to respond because you never know if that one time it's going to actually be a real threat. My point of bringing that up, though, is I think it leads to the importance of the weight of your actions. So to your point earlier, some of the threats we've talked about that are not real stemmed from sources outside of Connecticut. However, we have certainly seen instances as well where they do stem from right here in our own state. A student posting on a Snapchat thinking that the video would just go away, or a student making a comment on somebody else's post, or a student just wanting to get out of a test that day, making a fake phone call to the school. It doesn't happen often, thank God, but it does happen. And I'm wondering what your advice would be for families to talk about the weight of those actions when you post online or when you want to get out of the situation that, whatever you're presented with at school. What do you suggest families say or do or talk about this to avoid these kinds of things from happening?
Yeah, so kind of a two-pound approach to that is what I would recommend. The first is when it comes to some of these out-of-state actors, even internationally. So sometimes when they're targeting Connecticut, it's because they've obtained some sort of personally identifiable information from a Connecticut resident, either a minor or not. But I first recommend that, parents have a discussion with their children about what they're posting online, getting really familiar with the privacy settings on both social media and then gaming sites. These gaming sites and gaming communities are where swatting really began, especially when it comes to people that live stream. A lot of these threat actors are getting good at using social engineering and manipulating individuals online to, develop a relationship over time and gain access to personally identifiable information like home address, social security, email, birth date, those kind of things, real names. So the first thing that I would recommend is just limiting your digital footprint and then having that conversation with your children about doing it. As a digital immigrant myself, it requires some work to get up to date on what kind of information is available about you online. There's data broker removal services, paid services. I'm not going to advocate for one or the other. I do it manually, but there's data broker sites that have largely a lot of data on there that individuals can find. So the first thing I would recommend is having those conversations with your children about what they're posting and their digital footprint, and then your own as well, really. But the second part of that conversation, I think, is important as well. There's pretty significant consequences for swatting in Connecticut, and there's a number of different judicial punishments that an individual can face. But I found that from my side of the house, the recommendation is just using a case study of what has happened here to an individual who a minor who has made one of these hoax threats towards their own community. And shown kind of the severity of that to really bring it home, because you can talk about the law and all those kind of things high level, but I think it becomes more real when you show a child an instance of it happening here in your backyard.
Yeah, well, and I think you bring up a really great point too, Evan, which I didn't even touch on, but I'm glad that you kind of included it in your answer, which was how Connecticut even ends up on the radar of somebody. So maybe your kid is not the one that would make the fake threat or not even realize the weight of their actions online, but even, that you could be the loophole for why your community is targeted. I think that's fascinating, because that was going to be one of my questions, is how did Connecticut even end up on the radar of some of these people?
Yeah. And I will say that the other part of that is that AI is really lowering the barrier of entry for some of these individuals. So in the past, right, if a child was playing a game with somebody from, Africa or Europe or somewhere, a swatting call would have been difficult for that individual without translation services, voice generation, image generation, and then, an intimate knowledge of that particular school or that person's house. But now the barrier of entry for these individuals to do swattings is getting lower as they're using AI tools integrating into their threat strategies. They're able to generate voices if they're not from, from the U.S. They're able to use translation tools. They're able to generate pictures that they can use to fortify essentially their claim, make it seem more serious than not. And they're also familiar with the ways that law enforcement is tracking these things. So in the past, calls to non-emergency lines has always been a strong indicator of swatting. One of the things that we'll tell, dispatchers is to look out for is, hey, listen for the sounds of gunshots in the background, or ask questions about the location, clarifying questions to make sure this person is actually familiar, with the location that's being swatted, and AI is really lowering the barrier of entry for doing that.
Evan Allard, director of the Connecticut Intelligence Center, thank you so much. We'll be right back.